listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome back to The Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
I know we're getting a little bit of a late start. Thank you all for tuning in. We are live and on the air. I have some issues with my computer, so thank you all very much for taking the time. I want to thank Sam from LA Talk Radio, my new producer, for being patient and helping with this. And we will get to my fabulous guest, Jennifer Diamond, here in just a little bit. We're broadcasting live from my palatial Stoner Avenue home, which obviously this isn't it in the background. The Bob Dean Show, I want to thank you loyal listeners. Before I forget, please like and subscribe on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher, as well as LA Talk Radio. Please like. I'm very happy to be back. We've been on hiatus for those followers. You know, first of all, I want to thank the LA School of Comedy and Cindy Kroonquist, where we got our humble start. Sammy Junio, my former producer, and Zach Herndon, who have both moved on to bigger and better career advancement. The former Ruby Studio on Sunset Boulevard, where we recorded the show for a long time, which has now been torn down to make way for more creative office space and apartments that won't be full. A little skepticism there on my part. We are real happy to be back. I guess I got to say this is a comedy-based podcast, and but at the same time, we do conversation in the round. As this is our first show back, so you know, just be gentle with me. In the future, you'll be able to call in and comment and suggest. I was in a pretty serious accident about 3 years ago, which led, and then, of course, COVID came along, which is why the show faltered, and now we're back in production, and I'm very excited about it. You're going to have to bear with me, because comedy is changing, and with how you're supposed to say gender and being woke, I don't know if I'm any of that stuff, but I will start off by saying I'm white, I'm Christian, I smoke cigarettes inside my home. I eat red meat. I'm gay. I don't speak a word of Spanish. I don't have a fake handicap placard for my car, a fake marijuana card, or a fake service dog in my purse. And I live in Los Angeles, so I'm pretty much the friggin' minority. So if I say anything out of line, or you find it out of line, just let me know. Keep it quiet. In the upcoming weeks, hopefully we'll be doing this bi-weekly and progressing further. Jennifer Diamond, who you will meet here in a few minutes. She is a world-renowned psychic and author and a national bon vivant, I like to refer to her. She's just a fun person and a good friend. We are planning on setting up once a month a call-in segment where you will be able to call in. Our guests will be able to call in, and Jennifer will be able to help you along with some questions that you might have about the beyond. She's really awesome. Now, I want to say in the upcoming weeks, I'm so excited about this show. I've been a bartender for 43 years, started in Miami Beach, Nashville, and now I've been in Beverly Hills for 20 years, 43 years behind the bar. I've got kind of a sassy attitude about it, and I think it leads into my observational comedy. I'm just getting back in on the stage. I've done a couple of shows at Flappers in Burbank. We do perform at the LA School of Comedy. Sunda does open mic night, Sunda Kroonquist, the funniest lady in the world, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's just like a Soho club scene. It's really cool. Y'all should come on out. It starts at 7 o'clock, but I've been doing regular shows there on Friday nights. And hopefully we'll be getting back more into it. I've been searching for gainful employment. As I said, I've been behind the bar. It's been a little rough. I am now at the Mosaic Hotel on Spalding in Beverly Hills. I'm there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night. So come on and see me. It's fun. Spend some money. Tip me. And let's see. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to have a more structured, like I said, I'm flying by the seat of my pants on this first new podcast, and I'm real excited to be here, and thank you all for tuning in. There's going to be more structured. I'm going to have, you know, segments and that sort of thing. So I'm asking my viewers and listeners to feel free to suggest things that you think you might like to hear, things that might be funny to go along with. I am starting a little convoluted commentary, and this one today I think is just about my thoughts on legalizing jaywalking in Los Angeles. How friggin' absurd is that? It's almost as lame as being able to walk into a Walgreens and steal $999 or walk out with $999 worth of merchandise because they're just over it and there's not enough police to police it. How's that working out for you, defund the police friends? Anyway, legalizing jaywalking. Anybody that drives in Los Angeles knows it's tough enough as it is. The latest thing now is people making right turns from the center lane. Jaywalking, if you're not familiar with it, it's people in Los Angeles. Let's pick Beverly Hills, for example, where you have a young Persian in a Ferrari that goes 0 to 60 in about 4 feet. Now you throw into the mix, it's hard enough to cross at a light. Now it seems like everybody has their earbuds or headphones on, and their face is always in the phone when they're crossing the street. I've seen more people crash into each other, and it's hilarious. But you throw that into the mix of being able to cross right in front of you, and then, of course, the driver is always responsible, as we should be, but the pedestrian has some rights to bear as well, some responsibility to bear. So my philosophy is, if you are crossing the street, looking at your phone, jaywalking, and you're pulling a little dog with you, I'll just yell at you out of the window. But if you are crossing the street, looking at your phone with earbuds in, jaywalking, I'm aiming right for you. So just watch out. Anyway, in upcoming episodes of the Bob Dean Show, I am really excited. As I said before, being a bartender for so many years in Beverly Hills, I've had the opportunity to welcome some really great guests in the past and some great guests coming in the future. Today is Jennifer Diamond, of course, who you'll meet in a few minutes or in a moment. Allison Martino, who is a LA Hollywood historian, will be joining us. Ray Clanton, she is a Los Angeles photographer, model, and social influencer. She's hot. Let's see, who else on my little list here? Rebecca Field. Sorry, Rebecca. It just slipped my mind because I'm nervous about my first episode. Rebecca Field, who is my good friend, and her husband, Raph, will be back. Rebecca is a fabulous actress, and she is on the Netflix series, The Resident, the new Shonda Rhimes production. These are all people that are going to be joining us in the future. Marissa Hoffman, my neighbor, who's a model. She's pretty fabulous. Author Robin Raven will be joining us in the future. Those are just some of the people you can look forward to seeing. Now, I'm going to introduce my guest here. She is the author of The Top 50 Psychics Mediums in the USA 2016 and my favorite, Waking Up Psychic. These are books you can find. Written by the lovely and just cool as hell, Jennifer Diamond. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for bearing with my, I was having a breakdown, folks, because it's nothing to do with the producer or Jennifer. It's my computer was not hooking up, and you know, I have a hard enough time with that anyway. So I was pretty much at the end of my little rope. No. So anyway, you're looking great. How are you?
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me on. I'm great. Everything's fabulous. Haven't been on your show in 4 years. Time flies.
You've been on twice before, and both times I've had a great time. You are a former Beverly Hills resident. And you're living in Fort Lauderdale now.
Yes.
And I love to tell the story about, you know, you were part of a little fabulous group of friends that met on Friday afternoons for cocktail hour at the former Wolfgang Steakhouse, which was a great spot, made a lot of friends there. And you would come in on Fridays and hang out with Seca and Jeff.
Thursday martini night.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, every Thursday.
And for 6 years, you guys came in and we laughed and we formed a friendship. And then you moved to Lauderdale and you came back for a visit. And I'll forget that you and Seca and I were talking and Seca goes, well, you realize Jennifer's a psychic, don't you? And I was like, yeah, right. And you very humbly said, well, yes, I am. And I looked right at you and I said, you mean you've been reading my pervy thoughts for the last 6 years? And you go, that's why I like you.
You and everybody else.
Right? Yeah. We're going to get into some. You know, so your books are a success and I've enjoyed reading both of them. Would you like to share if my questions, your gift came in an unusual and unfortunately tragic way?
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people are born with psychic ability, mediumship. But there is, as I learned years ago, a large portion of people that have the gift have it from a traumatic experience. Mine was from a car accident. So I write about it in my book, Waking Up Psychic. But yeah, I was in a car accident and I was in a coma for about 36 hours. And when I woke up, my whole life changed. And it was from that point on. I mean, for the first month, I would say I felt like I was going a little crazy. This was before, you know, Google, social media, internet, all that, because it was 1989. So there was really nowhere to turn to explain what I was going through. But I quickly learned that, yeah, I was able to see the dearly departed from that point on. So, you know, now it's May 29th will be 34 years that I've had the gift.
That's incredible. Because in your book, you know, the description of how horrible the accident was and the loss of your fiance and you being trapped in the car for so many hours and then the coma situation, when you woke up, do you remember your first thought? I mean, I know, but according to your book, it was the sound of the machines beeping. But do you remember any, if you don't mind indulging us, on specifics of the first thing that maybe scared you or shocked you that was going on in your mind?
Yeah, it was actually a very calming feeling, because when you travel to the other side, I write about it, had a near-death experience, and not being awake for 36 hours felt like 5 minutes, literally. I was able to see myself laying in the hospital bed. I was able to see the nurses and doctors come in to check on me. So I was aware of what was going on, but had no desire, was the nicest way to put it, that I wanted to go back or was even fully connected to that body. But I was able to, you know, see myself and...
like from a hovering advantage, per se, like so many people say?
Yeah, it was as if I was, you know, about 8 feet above looking down, but I was not real interested in any of that. I mean, I knew what was going on and I could hear what they were saying, but I was more interested in the communication I had going on outside of that. But when I woke up, so it was real quiet, because I think it was the middle of the night. It was probably 3 o'clock in the morning when I woke up and hearing the sounds of the machines that I was hooked up to. It was a little odd, but it was very peaceful. But I was watching part of myself kind of go back into my body. I know it sounds a little crazy, but it was like a iridescent picture I could see of myself kind of going back into the body that was laying on the bed. I was very quiet, didn't move my head. The only thing I moved for probably the first 30 minutes after I woke up was my eyes. I never moved my head, really. I didn't move anything. I was just looking around, taking everything in. And somebody that I had been communicating with on the other side was standing in the room. So I didn't know, you know, for me, it was just looking in one direction and then looking in another. So the scenery was different, but I saw this one woman that I had been apparently communicating with for the last day and a half. So it was interesting.
But she was like a random,
random person. Soul.
How should I refer to these as souls or friends? You know, when we're speaking of somebody that only you can communicate with.
Like you mean in general?
Say again.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
My question is, when, in our conversation, what is a respectful way to refer to someone that you're speaking to that only you can communicate with? Should I say, or is it, do you, or does it matter? Like the soul you were speaking with, or the lady, or the ghost, or.
It doesn't matter. People come through to me how they were here so that I can describe traits that they have, mannerisms, temperament. I can't, not always do I see what they look like. A lot of times I do, but sometimes I don't. But they always give me specific things so that I can give a message to the person it's for, so that they know who I'm talking about. It's a little difficult for me to describe, but not usually. You know, a lot of times if it's somebody, well, I should say, when it's difficult, it's only because it's either somebody that's come through that the person didn't really know, because either they were young or it was a family member they never really met, or somebody that was not really around them towards the latter part of their life. So, but I've found that people come through in all types.
Well, what I'm going to do is, I hope this works, but I'm going to show this picture. I don't think it's going to work, because it's been my mom always, this is Stella.
I can't see it.
No, you can't see it. But anyway, sorry about that. Well, I'm learning, guests and followers, of how this split screen works. But at any rate, a perfect example is my mother, Stella, who the first time you were on the show, you knew nothing about, you know, my family or anything like that. And you asked me, right in the middle of a conversation, you said, is your mother still with you? And I said, no. And I didn't even think about it. And then I was like, why is she here? And you said, well, I think so. And you described her as very beautiful, as she was when she was young, and very happy-go-lucky, and she's with me all the time. And I have to tell you, my first thought when you said she's with me all the time is, I thought, I'll never be able to have sex again, because she's going to be hanging out. But and in all the times that we get together, Stella seems to pop in. And the last time that we were together at Tommy's, the place I was, my gig in Beverly Hills last summer, and you came in with Seca, and we were just chatting away, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, your mom's here again, and you said, and she's smoking.
She was smoking
her Benson and Hedges, which basically is what her demise in the end. But she always had, you know, some sort of message, because I asked the first time or the second time. Mm-hmm. I was so, and I still have problems with the loss of the family home in the Nashville flood, feeling like there was more that I could have done. And it's a long, painful story. But you gave me a lot of comfort, because I asked my mother right then, you know, I feel guilty about it. And you so clearly explained that mom was just going, let it go. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. And then the last time at Tommy's, it was so funny because my sister, my oldest sister, Debbie, who passed away from cancer at a very young age. And then she came in one, and you said, there's a blonde and they're bickering. And I'm like, ah, that's my sister. And then the last time at Tommy's, you said, there's a guy in a suit who's kind of sitting sideways, and he's dismissing what your mom is saying like this. Cause my parents were hopelessly in love. They had their ups and downs, but Dad would do that. He was so quiet. He'd be like, babe, like, give it a rest. And so, I mean, it was just, it touched me. It's just so nice.
Yeah. So when I give messages, so
you're sitting like with me, they just pop into your head. Like, is there a knock in your brain, or they just come into your vision, or how do you, and is it comfortable for you? I mean,
it is comfortable. I a lot of times they're talking to me and they don't, it's like nonstop. So then I know that I'm supposed to be giving this person this message, but 95% of the time, maybe more than that, when I give a message, like the things you're telling me, I really don't necessarily remember, because it's not for me.
You're just the speaker.
Yeah. And I don't, the less I know, the more information I get. So I know a lot of times people like to get pictures or pieces of jewelry, which is fine. Everybody works differently. I learned from doing my one book, Top 50 Psychics and Mediums, was interesting for me, because I got to meet over, I had a list of probably 350, 400 psychics and mediums that people, you know, gave me names of people to interview and for the book. And I got to realize that everybody works so completely different. I've met some really, really interesting psychics and mediums, and the gifts they have, some are similar to mine, some are very different. I had a couple people in my book that use a sound box, and it's just so interesting. It's like a radio, and that you tune in and the voice comes through of somebody on the other spirit box. The
right.
Yeah. Comes through.
You and know George Norrie, don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
So I know George, who he is. I met him once at Wolfgang.
Right. Well, he, you know, he is a good friend of mine, and he's actually my connection to how I got onto iHeartRadio. Thank you, George. But he, in one of his books, he describes exactly how to make that talk box.
It's interesting.
And, it's very interesting. And it's just so matter of fact on the clarity and how simply, but they absolutely work.
They do work. And, you know, so I believe I have two people in my book that use those. So the one girl, and forgive me, I forget her name because it's been 8 years. I never had met her personally. A lot of the psychics, well, actually all the psychics in the book, or the majority of them, I should say, I didn't meet, I didn't interview. I had a panel of 13 people. And so these psychics had to give three different readings to three different people on my panel, and they judged them, not to judge them if they were bad or good. It was more to get a sense of their how they work and their gifts, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So this one girl, like I said, I never met her, but she had called me or reached out to me maybe 2 months, month or two after my top 50 psychics book came out. And she said she had left me a message saying she wanted to talk to me. And the way she starts her day is she wakes up, she gets ready, and she turns her spirit box on, and she'll ask it, are there any messages for me today? And a message came through for her that clearly said the message is for Jennifer Diamond. Now, I was like, because I wasn't familiar with the spirit box stuff, I'm open to all this stuff. At the time, I wasn't familiar with it. So I was like, okay, let me give her a call back. So she said, I have a message from Anthony. And I was like, the hair on the back of my neck stood up because it was my fiance that died in the accident. So even though she said that, I still was like skeptical. And so she goes, I have to go to work now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a link. I taped the message and you can listen to it. And so I listened to it. And that's when I was shocked and surprised, because it was his voice with a message to me. And it was the most amazing thing. And this was in 2015. And Anthony had died in 1989. So that's how many years later it was, 26 years later.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. But so there's just so many, getting back to your question, they come through, spirit comes through to me differently depending on who the person is. Like I said, sometimes I can see them. I almost always can hear them. And a lot of times they'll show me things, but when I'm reading for somebody, I'm not looking at them. I'm like looking up. For some reason, for me, I'm usually looking up to the right because I'm able to hear and see.
I've absolutely noticed that, because as I said, when we'll be in the middle of conversation about martinis or, you know, this or that or the other thing, and then when someone has come through to you to say something to me, that's what you do. You know, it's not like you're a jolt or anything.
No.
But that you kind of like, you know, casually your eyes go up to the right and then you'll like questions and, you
know. Yeah, because I have to be able to, for me, it's always, I hear noise all the time. It's constantly, it sounds like Grand Central Station. So I work really hard at being calm and tuning out the noise all the time.
That was what one of the things I was asked. You hear that constantly because you're always so composed. And well, you always look hot, if I may say, but you always look beautiful and composed. And, you know, I would think that with, you know, if I had to listen to all that, because we all have voices in our heads that drive us nuts, I guess.
Yeah.
But for all of the things that are coming at you or the people coming at you all the time, you sure have a good grasp of it or how to handle it.
Yeah, I try to. One thing I realized, which was not that long ago, probably 7-8 years ago, which by that point I had already had this gift for 26 years or so, was that so a lot of times I'll ask people, because I asked you, is your mother here or is she gone? The reason I ask that is because I didn't realize sometimes people will come through. I can read for people whether they're passed on or not. So if I'm reading for somebody, like, I guess I had messages for you from your mother. I've read for people that I have messages from a parent or a sibling or a loved one that's still alive. And I didn't realize I had that gift until a few years back, which was so interesting because a lot of times for me, I don't get caught up in are they here or not here, because the message is a lot stronger than
I see.
Worrying about that. So,
well, I love it when somebody from my family or whatever comes through. It just makes me feel great. And it's also fun to share. When you were at Tommy's that day, I'm not going to mention any names, but you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. We all have a mutual friend who we loved, and he passed away very suddenly at a very young age. And a person that he was very, very close to has been devastated. It was recent, the loss of this man.
A year, right?
Right. And this person came in and sat down next to you. And I knew you were coming. I didn't expect the other trio to come in, and I introduced you guys and you started chatting it up.
Well, we knew each other. We've always known each other. Cause he was actually one of my best friends. And
that's what I was getting ready to say. Why, you guys were tight.
Yeah. He was the reason why it was our Thursday night martini.
Right. And that's how they met. And then, but what I meant was, I guess to clarify, is that you guys popped in and you spoke to her, and I didn't hear exactly what you were saying, but I could just see that you were so, and she, it was so comforting.
Yeah, she was having a hard time.
Yeah. You know, and he just gave you some matter-of-fact things to pass along. And, you know, that makes people feel good. I mean, it really does. It takes a lot of, you know, you help a lot of people with that, I think.
Yeah.
And I had once, that. So before I forget, I wanted to ask you about this. I ran a haunted bar on South Beach, which someday I'm sure that the structure is still there. It's been years. This is like 89, 90, 91, 92. And it was an unfortunate murder of the owner of the bar. She was a petite woman, but it happened in 1985, the murder. And then the guy that killed her, they found him mysteriously dead in Loomis Park, which is the park right there across from Collins Avenue, where all the Deca hotels are. And this is back when Miami Beach had a pretty seedy reputation. And that's how I got to learn facts, because I talked to witnesses who were in the bar and this and that. I got it reopened it as the Lasso Lounge, and her spirit, her name was Jean. And
was she real pretty?
She was a short, petite blonde in her 50s, I believe.
With a pretty face.
Yes. It was called the Rhinestone Cowboy was the name of the bar, and it was her bar, and she was a lesbian, but it was a straight bar, and she loved that bar. And the guy, Henry Welsh, is the name of the guy who went behind the bar, and he stabbed her 12 times, and then he went and we had a haunted urinal. I don't know if any of this comes to you at all, but her name was Jean, and these two young ladies came in early one Sunday night. And they were sitting at the bar, and I and made them a drink, and I was doing whatever I was doing. And then one young lady called me over, and they're probably in their 20s. And she immediately started asking, I mean, very cool. She's asking about, she said, is there a spirit in the bar? And I say, well, some say there is. And she went on to immediately describe Jean and exactly what she looked like. And she said, I can, and so we started a conversation. She explained that she could see the spirit and her friend could hear. And she explained how Jean was one dimensional and you could see her face. And then she turned sideways and disappear and then turned back around and she could see her from behind. Does that make sense?
I mean, that's that I see her. I don't see her like that. I see her as like, she was very like, very pretty face and very bubbly, happy.
Yeah.
Person. Yeah. So that's how they, that's what I'm saying. Everybody has gifts of how they are able to communicate. She comes through very clear to me. And did she come through before? Did you and I talk about her before?
No, we've never discussed her at all. And she was very active and she was physical too. She would like blow into the women's ears. She would run her finger, like, because that was back in the days when you could smoke. I was young and I'd have my foot up behind the bar and I'd be smoking a cigarette, talking to somebody, and she'd take her finger and run it right up my butt crack through my Levi's. And I would jump about 40 feet in the air, you know, and I'd be like, stop it, Gene. But she was a prankster. You know,
so also too, a lot of times people have, this is a whole different topic that we could talk about at a different time, but soulmates, so to speak, it doesn't necessarily mean it's your lover or your husband, spouse. Your soulmates can be your best friends, your parents, your worst adversaries. It's people that we set up before we're born in this lifetime to get us from point A to point B, so to speak, spiritually. So we're able to grow spiritually, right? And so a lot of times when I'm talking to people on the other side, because I remember one time I did a gallery and I think there was 15 or 17 women that this the woman I knew owned a hair salon and she put this on at her hair salon. And so I read for all these people and it was tiring for me because I think it was 7 or 8, almost half of the people there had recently within the last 3 months to 2 years had lost children. And so I was communicating with these children on the other side and that was really hard for me. You know, because as a parent, there's some things that we just shouldn't have to live through. And the loss of a child is one of them.
That's what they say. That's the worst.
Yeah. So a lot of these, and I've known this, it was one of the things I was shown when I had my near-death experience was that, you know, we have certain, our little army of soulmates here that we have in this lifetime to help us evolve. And not to get off course, but the woman you're talking about said that the person that killed her, you said he died too?
That's what I was told. That's from the, his name was Henry Welsh, is what I was told by the people that worked for Jean, who were in the bar the night that she was murdered. This is what they told me. Now maybe I, you know, if you've got something different, I'm sure that that's probably what it is. So,
well, not that I have anything different. What I was going to say is when you brought his name up, she chimed in right away and said that that was planned. That was something they had planned from a previous life. It was not, and I don't always hear that. Like a lot of times people say to me, oh, but you could say that to anybody, but I couldn't. I've communicated with people many times that have been murdered and that's not, they don't chime in like that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like to not have a lot of information so that what they tell me, I can clearly hear, but it was, that's why I'm going into the whole soulmate thing. But what I'm not getting, I see him kind of on the side or in the background. I don't believe he's still alive. I could be wrong. I get the feeling he's not. But even though it was a soul connection they had that was kind of a planned thing, she's happy on the other side. It was like she transitioned here, happy here and happy on the other side. Him, on the other hand, he struggled because that was not what he felt like he signed up for, or he did, you know, in a past life. But once that whole incident occurred, it wasn't like he was able to live happily ever after, so to speak. So I don't know where he's at, but I know that the two of them are very different after that, which isn't always, and like I said, again, it's not always the case, you know? So
what happened was, we're getting close. I can't believe it as it flies by, because we only have a few more minutes, but she used to be very happy and active and that sort of thing. And according to these two young ladies, the two mediums, she said, whenever Henry would come in, because he wasn't in the bar all the time, but he would come in, and that's when she would get really upset. And that's when I would see, it would look like the Tasmanian devil. It would be like a little cyclone that I could catch out of the corner of my eye that would go up and across the top of the roof. And the jukebox would go crazy whenever they played Your Cheating Heart. These are all little details. Maybe we can talk about it another time, but yeah. And she would get, that's what these two women said, that she would, when he would come into the bar, she was happy in the bar and she loved me, they said, because I loved the bar. It was the most fun I've ever had in my life, running in the Lasso Lounge. And
there was, there was some unfinished business that those two had. That's
really intriguing.
Yeah.
Or maybe if I come down and visit in Fort Lauderdale, we could cruise down and see whatever's in that spot. And maybe she's still there, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was in South Beach, you said?
Yeah, it was on South Beach.
It's probably gone now. All the buildings are new.
That's why I don't want to go. It's the same thing as I don't want to go back to Nashville. I want to remember these places for as wonderful and the fun that I had. But listen, we're going to have to wrap this up.
And wrap it up.
Well, what can I say? Jennifer Diamond, Waking Up Psychic. I don't know if you can see that. Yes. And these are fabulous books. And the 50 Top Mediums. And you're my friend, and I love you. And ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer has agreed. We're working out the kinks in the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Yes. But hopefully we're going to have a monthly call-in segment where Miss Diamond will dedicate her time to taking your call-in questions. Fair enough, Jen?
Fair enough.
Great. And love to Dior, your lovely daughter, who's now a teenager. Hey, Dior. And what else can I say? Thank you, audience. Thank you for listening. Please, like I said, BobDean2971 on Instagram. Please like and follow the Bob Dean Show on Facebook, which, yes, I know it's got a little old information on there, but we're going to get back into the swing of the game, gang. And thank you for your loyal listening. And Bob Dean on Facebook. And what else can I say? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Sam, from LA Talk Radio, my new producer, for setting all this up and for the first 15 minutes of me freaking out because my computer wouldn't boot up and all that sort of thing. But stay tuned, follow my Facebook page and notifications about our next episode and our next guests. They will be on Thursdays at noon, might be next week, might be the week after. But Jennifer Diamond, if I do not see you, it was great to see you. And thanks for coming over to the house yesterday. If I don't see you before you go back to Lauderdale, mwah.
Thank you.
Try and stop in the hotel and let me buy you and Seca a cocktail.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Jennifer. I love you. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Bob Dean Show.
Yay.
Yay. Oh, wait, we still have...
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.